Sweet Billy got picked on at school for things he couldn't change. He tried his best to play it cool, but in the seventh grade, you either fit right in or you don't fit. That's just the cold hard truth. I wish that I'd have been the friend that Billy never knew. I think it's time we come together, you and I can make a change. Maybe we can make a difference, make the world a better place. Look around and love somebody, we've been hateful long enough. Let the good Lord reunite us till this country that we love's undivided.
Yup. You either go to church or you're gonna go to hell. Get a job and work or you're gonna go to jail. I just kinda wish we didn't think like that. Why's it gotta be all
black? Welcome back.
Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast. This Tuesday, April 20th, 2021. Last Friday, we had an interesting conversation, and a lot of things go through my mind. We had some interesting discussion at the end of kind of toward the end of hour two. And so, you know, one of the things I'm reminded of these days is Leviticus 26. And just to conclude that, sort of finish that thought. So what happens? All right, so fine, 10 women bake bread in one oven. Again, you know, why the chauvinism, being a little facetious? Just, you know, how deranged we are these days in America, out of touch with reality. I think one of the best things we can do is turn off the screens, go outside, and just appreciate nature for a moment. Most of the appreciation of nature is happening in terrariums, though. Have you noticed? I mean, the workout facilities with the treadmills and the, face. It's the strangest thing. And I just saw an article the other day, I forget where. Maybe getting off the treadmill and going outside and exercising is better for you. Do you think? So 10 women, one oven, ration bread. I get it. Really? That's your point? No. Leviticus 26 is serious business. So continuing, just to wrap this up. Then I will act with wrathful hostility against you. Then I will act with wrathful hostility against you. And I, even I, will punish you seven times for your sins. God says, verse 29 is where it really, I mean, it seems to get about as serious as it can get. It really starts to, you know, if we're not going to listen. Verse 29, further, you shall eat the flesh of your sons and the flesh of your daughters you shall eat. That's pretty serious. And probably not think anything of it. Can you imagine such a thing in today's dialectical malaise? I can. I then will destroy your high places and cut down your incense altars and heap your remains on the remains of your idols, for my soul shall abhor you. I will lay waste your cities as well. I will make your sanctuaries desolate, and I will not smell your soothing aromas. I will make the land desolate so that your enemies who settle in it shall be appalled over it. You, however, I will scatter among the nations and will draw out a sword after you as your land becomes desolate and your cities become waste. I wonder from time to time, speaking of that passage, if America, the melting pot, you know, you read about things like coercive engineered migration and how that's been done over the last couple hundred years in particular. How that's been accomplished, and you kind of wonder if America wasn't intended to be used without getting, you know, too far afield. The next chapter in Leviticus 27 deals with the concept of the tithe, which I think is largely misunderstood. And verse 28, this passage, anything devoted to destruction is most holy to the Lord. So our people misappropriated and misused in America, generally speaking? That's a, I don't know, question for a later time. Another day, perhaps. Your cities will become waste. Then the land will enjoy its Sabbaths all the days of desolation while you are in your enemy's land. I mean, because when you think about it, are we really Native American people? Anyway, continuing. While you're in your enemy's land, then the land will rest and enjoy its Sabbaths. All the days of its desolation, it will observe the rest, which it did not observe on your Sabbaths while you were living on it. As for those of you who may be left, which again reminds me of sort of the post-COVID era, reading the stories, people getting these shots and having all kinds of adverse side effects and still considering it a coincidence and still doubling down on the, well, no, I mean, there's just no way nobody would do anything. It can't happen here. Oh, wait, that book was already written. Can't happen here. As for those of you who may be left, I will also bring weakness into their hearts in the lands of their enemies, and the sound of a driven leaf will chase them. A leaf, the sound of a driven leaf will chase them. And even when no one is pursuing, they will flee as though from the sword, and they will fall. They will therefore stumble over each other as if running from the sword, although no one is pursuing. And you will have no strength to stand up before your enemies, but you will perish among the nations, and your enemy's land will consume you. Anyway, there's more. I leave it to the listener if you're not familiar. But these things, you know, I mentioned it last week. This reminds me of what's going on in America. We are, you know, people on this network and other folks have talked for a long time. You know, you go to the National Intelligence Council and see their global trends reports that they've been putting out since the 90s and how they have intended to bring America down. That one video that I did on the Road Warrior Radio YouTube channel, I spoke to the parody. Guys like Timothy Geithner were talking about, and that was more than 10 years ago now. This plan to bring America down. No country is supposed to be able to manufacture anything. No country, like, entirely. No country is supposed to be self-sufficient. Food is grown, you know, kind of in part in places and processed in other places. Things are sort of made in different places and assembled somewhere else so that no one is self-sufficient. And we are being brought down to this parity of second, you know, 2.5 world status. Not first world, not second or third, somewhere in between second and third world status in accordance with UN Agenda 21. Are we starting to see Chapter 7 around us in our midst? Human settlement camps? Are we seeing the rewilding accomplished? All of that seems to coincide with Leviticus 26 to me. You know, the slide starts, you read about it in Romans 1. We had a foundation in America, and it was biblical in nature, I would surmise. And when we drift from that, you can see what happens in Romans 1. And now, you know, the late, great Alan Watt told us about the crumbling infrastructure. We have this infrastructure initiative, you know, Trump talked about, Biden apparently is acting on, and it has nothing to do with infrastructure. Too big to fail doesn't seem to include highways and those kinds of things. That wasn't long. What's it been, 70 years? We don't need automobiles anymore. Even speaking of Tim Allen, have you seen his that thing that Peterson Auto Museum did where, you know, Tim Allen talks about his Tesla and he goes, it's a weird thing. It's an iPhone golf cart. It doesn't have any moving parts or things, and it talks and it says these weird things sometimes. You're not authorized to get in. not authorized to enter this vehicle. But, you know, DOD has wanted flying Humvees for years. Remember when I talked about that? What's it called? You know, the Popular Mechanics article, you know, which is a DARPA mouthpiece, the Flying Humvee article from years ago. So we don't need roads anymore, right? Saudi Arabia is going to get flying taxis. So, you know, autonomous flying taxis. What could possibly go wrong? Wasn't there a Tesla crash in the news recently? The fire was like, you know. So, does that mean that they're going to have to be equipped with special fire extinguishers or something? You know, you learn about the fire triangle, and then you learn about things like magnesium fire. And not quite the same animal. So, you know, will the Teslas need special fire extinguishers anyway? We are being encouraged to become detached from reality. And this is a thing that has happened over a period of years, generations, you know, decades, centuries even, and it's not going to change overnight. And history tells us that we go over the cliff before we go, wait a minute. So anyway, remember when Alan Watt used to tell us about crumbling infrastructure? If you look around and people don't notice, it's astonishing what people don't notice. They don't see the things in the sky or the things around them. They, you know, there have been countless movies and television shows and books written about how, especially in the larger urban centers where people don't know each other, they'll ignore the most horrific kinds of things. That's not always true. That's been sensationalized. But it is true in some cases. Are people less inclined to stop for one another like they used to? Someone's on the side of the road. Hey, is everything okay? There's no hitchhiking anymore. No. So, you know, you look around, the roads are in poor condition, but, you know, are there even any lines on the road anymore? I don't understand. You know, we have extra emphasis patrols everywhere, you know, to crack down on drunk driving. But we don't have lines on the road so you can see, especially when it's raining. So that seems strange to me. And all of the consoles now are devoid of any sort of tactile response in the new dashes. So if you're trying to change the radio station, good luck staying on the road. I'm not so sure it's just the phone. You used to be able to feel those buttons way back in the old days. You know, you had just six little buttons that you would push, the analog buttons, not the digital stuff, and it would move the bar on the AM/FM dial to those positions, pre-programmed positions. You could feel those buttons. Now you got a screen. How are you supposed to read a screen while you're driving? Well, you're not supposed to. And that's why they deactivate it while you're driving. Yeah, but you can deactivate it. It's not difficult. So Strange times. I think the lines in the road is one of the biggest indicators. And again, it reminds me of Alan Watt talking about crumbling infrastructure and guys like Murray Strong. We need to rewild the North American continent, except for these little enclaves of, you know, urban development and gentrification, which is awesome. You know, the lines on the roads that are gone, they're virtually non-existent. If you drive at night, so is that a subtle hint that, you know, people shouldn't be driving at night? You don't need to do that. It's kind of like the panopticon is just creeping in all around us. What do you need to drive at night for? You're not going to work. Well, maybe some people are. Most people aren't, though, so we don't need those lines. You can see the road during the day, and you don't need to be going anywhere, you know, unless you absolutely, and you can see this kind of stuff. If you haven't looked, grab one of the driver manuals from your local community. People used to go have fun. They didn't need to be told to have fun responsibly or drink responsibly or do those kinds of things. Yeah, but we had crashes. No. I think there's more to that story. And so now you look in these manuals and they literally say, if you don't need to go somewhere, don't go. Try to consolidate all of your errand running so you can make one trip, call ahead, make sure they have it. The driving manuals say these kinds of things. What's the subtle implicit message here? Are we being handed over into the hand of our adversaries? As Leviticus 26 seems to indicate. All right, let's get back to business. Pinocchio is an interesting story, right? I mentioned Pleasure Island last Friday. We were sort of talking about some stuff on Friday, digging into what's going on and, you know, so forth. The true and sinister purpose of Pleasure Island. We have time? Can we do that?
You're coming right home with me this minute.
Hey. Who's the Beatle?
Hang on, put me down.
I'll get out of here. Come here.
He's my conscience. He tells me what's right and wrong.
What? You mean to tell me you take orders from a grasshopper?
Grasshopper? Look here, you impudent young pup. It wouldn't hurt you to take orders from your grasshopper. Your conscience, if you have one.
Yeah, sure. Screwball in the corner pocket.
Why, you young hoodlum, I'll knock your block off. Why, I'll take you apart and put you back together.
Don't hurt him, Jiminy. He's my best friend.
Why, I'll... Your best friend? And what am I? Just your conscience. Okay. That settles it.
But Jiminy...
You buttered your bread. Now sleep in it. Go on, laugh. Make a jackass out of yourself. I'm through. This is the end.
But Jiminy... Lampwick says a guy only lives once.
Lampwick.
Come on. Let him go.
Lampwick.
Burns me up. After all I tried to do for him.
Who's his conscience anyway? Me or that hoodlum Lampwick? I've had enough of this. I'm taking the next boat out of here. Open up that door. Open up! I want to go home!
Come on, you dogs. Keep her moving. Lively there now. We haven't got all night.
Where'd all the donkeys come from?
Come on. Let's have another.
And what's your name?
Okay, you'll do. In you go. You, of course, will bring a nice price. All right, next.
And what might your name be?
Alexander.
So you can talk.
Yes, sir. I want to go home to my mama.
Take him back. He can still talk.
Please, no, no, I don't want to be a donkey. Let me out of here.
Quiet! You boys have had your fun. Now pay for it.
The true and sinister purpose of Pleasure Island. So what is the purpose? Jordan Peterson explained. And I guess to put it in simple terms, you know, the Pleasure Island analogy in America over the course of the 20th century correlates to the Bernaysian influence, the will to pleasure influence, to create this culture of indolence and apathy, self-indulgence, opulence, and to turn America into a beast of burden and a docile, pliable people who complicit, willing to do anything. And whereas before, you know, the rugged individualist would stand against these kinds of efforts. Sure didn't take long. So I mean, I don't think it took long. And again, you know, it's just astonishing how easily we believe everything that is put in front of us. If it comes through a screen, it can't possibly be bad. Or, you know, there's no way that there is some kind of sinister influence behind it. Happened to catch, speaking of the screens, maybe this is a bad time to admit it, but I happened to catch the Mission Impossible Fallout, part of that, you know, with Henry Cavill, Superman, and the bad CIA guy. You know, it's interesting the way that story is always construed. Well, he's a rogue, you know, and it's in the comic book lore and so forth. But when you dig in a little bit deeper, it seems like it's the opposite. You know, you have so many folks breaking ranks and saying, actually, you know, and they mentioned special activities even in Fallout. This guy's a rogue. No, actually, he's just acting on the directives he's been given. The CIA's greatest plumber. And this isn't this how it actually operates? So we've had this influence in our midst for what, going on 100 years? And then even before that, there was some weird stuff going on. Aaron and Melissa Dykes remind us, you know, before we got this latest incarnation of things like the League of Nations, United Nations, this kind of stuff, before the turn of the 20th century, there was a huge push for this thing. So, anyway. I don't know if we should break this. And we'll wait. Jordan Peterson, we'll play this in the next segment. Jordan Peterson, what turns someone into a jackass? What turns someone into a jackass? And so this is part of his lecture series on the 2017 lecture series on maps of meaning. And interesting stuff. You know, this is concerning number four specifically. And he's written quite a number of things in this regard, kind of supporting documentation. You can go to his website, jordanbpeterson.com/mapsofmeaning. Maps of Meaning is all hyphenated. You can see some of these videos. 2017 Maps of Meaning, number one, context and background. And continuing. And then he has a number of associated he has a series of lectures and then associated papers for anyone interested. But you know, it's some interesting stuff. I think it just reflects the biblical truths to some degree. The problem is you can't find your way out of this stuff. You may be able to identify the problem, but I'm not so sure that, you know, psychology is good at pointing the way to salvation, if you will, or a solution to the problem. Whereas the Bible, as I have mentioned, you know, in coding terms, the Bible is, even in its analog form, it's a self-replicating error correcting code. In other words, if you just keep reading it and keep reading it, then it will propagate more of like, and it will correct the errors automatically in your programming, so to speak. And that's a concept that is, in the coding world, that's an advanced concept. That's a very advanced, you know, concept that the field of machine learning and artificial intelligence deal with. How can we do that? And this one book does it in a way that man has not been able to replicate. And it does it in an analog format with help from the Holy Spirit, obviously. But it's a fascinating concept. And I don't see where, you know, despite the best efforts of folks like Jordan Peterson, I don't see where psychology accomplishes that. However, that is not to detract from the work that Jordan Peterson has done. I think that he's done a really good job of going down the rabbit hole and bringing back the most lucid and at times horrific revelations from going down the rabbit hole. What is, you know, what is in the heart of man? Well, it's like Solzhenitsyn wrote, you know, if only it were so easy. We could separate the good and the evil, but the line between good and evil cuts through the heart of every man, and who is willing to cut out a piece of his own heart? Jordan Peterson has been more honest in his introspection than most, so we'll explore that when we come back. Stick around.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Amazon customer: it's amazing. I just ordered my second bottle. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after I exercise. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off of BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. Amazon customer: Extendivite works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. Amazon customer: excellent herbal formula. I've been using it to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
Feel it's their appointed duty. They keep trying to tell me, all you want to do is use me. But my answer, just keep on using me until you use me up. Until you use me up.
Welcome back. All right, so Jordan Peterson, we played the Pinocchio clip. We're going to play this, then we'll go to the phones. So the true and sinister purpose of Pleasure Island, what is it? And then Jordan Peterson explains what turns someone into a jackass. Here's that. Go ahead, please.
Later that night, the entire place is completely devastated, and all we see is the wreckage of everything that was there before. And again, the cricket has got separated from Pinocchio, and so he's trying to find him, and Pinocchio ends up in this bar that's shaped like an eight ball. Eight ball is kind of the random ball in pool. And anyways, he's inside the eight ball, and he's shooting pool with Lampwick. And that's just another indication of wasting his time, basically. And you can see in the forefront there, there's some cards for gambling. And so he's engaged in these sort of, you might say, pointless hedonic pursuits. And he's enticing Pinocchio along the same route. And so he teaches him to smoke first. That doesn't go very well. So Pinocchio takes a huge drag on a cigar, and it just about kills him. And when Lampwick asks him how he likes it, he shakes his head and says, you know, that it's really was really quite good, but he's so sick that he can hardly stand up, and he's hallucinating double balls on the pool table, and then the cricket shows up and stands on the eight ball and kind of gives one of those declamatory speeches again, you know, because he still hasn't quite figured out that standing up proud and spouting off the rules isn't exactly the right way for the conscience to behave. And Lampwick picks him up by the scruff of the neck, roughly speaking, and first of all asks who he is. So obviously he's divorced from his own conscience, and then makes fun of Pinocchio for paying attention to this little bug. And that's kind of a nice indication of what happens in adolescence, you know, because, of course, as the children move away from their parents and into their groups, especially when the groups are misbehaving, often what happens is that the other members of the group will torture a person who isn't willing to try something dangerous or foolish by making fun of the fact that they're, you know, too attached to their conscience. And there's a positive element to that, because you should take some risks when you're a teenager and also later in life. And so if you won't take any risks, there's actually something wrong with you. But there's a negative element in that, well, you know, teenagers do all sorts of stupid things, and perhaps it's amazing that we all live through it, actually, as far as I'm concerned. And some people take extraordinarily risks, extraordinary risks, and they don't make it through at all, or they end up in the permanently antisocial population. And then they're, you know, basically career criminals. 5% of the criminals commit 95% of the crimes. It's another Pareto distribution. So, anyways, Lampwick isn't going to listen to Pinocchio and or to the cricket. He laughs at him with this kind of braying laugh, which is some foreshadowing. And the cricket gets all upset, puts his coat on backwards, and ends up dumped down a pool table hole and otherwise abused. And so he stomps on out of there. He tells Pinocchio that he can take care of himself, and he stomps on out of there. And so Pinocchio is left without the guidance of conscience, and the cricket is trying to figure out how to get off Pleasure Island. But he goes through the gates, and he sees what's actually going on. And what's going on is that the coachman has this, like, slave boat down in the bowels of the island, and he's got all these black-suited minions with the glowing eyes working for him, and they're rounding up what look like donkeys. And so they're beasts of burden, right? And so there's an idea here that if you produce if you pursue impulsive pleasure to the detriment of the development of your character, you're going to end up a beast of burden. You're going to end up a slave to a tyrant. And that's exactly right. And so, anyways, the cricket doesn't, you can see one of those black-suited horrors here hauling donkeys out of this crate, and one of them has a hat on, and they look very sad, and they're in different crates, and one of them says sold to the salt mines, and one says sold to the circus, and so they're shipped off to be slaves, roughly speaking, and they look very sad. And then one of them gets hauled out of a crate, and he's still got a hat, he has a hat on and a sweater, and he can still talk. He's a boy, it turns out, that's been half transformed into a jackass, a braying jackass, prior to being enslaved. And so that's another thing that's quite interesting about the story. You know, it also makes the case that if you replace your voice with stupid braying, that the probability that you're going to become enslaved by a tyrant is extraordinarily high. And I always can't help but think about ideologues in that manner. You know, Solzhenitsyn wrote about the radical left ideologues that got thrown in the Gulag Archipelago, you know, so they were party stalwarts. This happened to a lot of people. True believers who were vacuumed up by the Stalinist machine and thrown into the Gulag anyways. And he said that those people suffered in some ways more than everyone else because, what did he say? They were bit by the beloved hand that fed them. And so the first while when they were in the camps, Solzhenitsyn really didn't know what to do with people like that, because on the one hand, well, they were in the camps and wasn't that awful, and they've been torn away from their families and, you know, stripped of all their identity and their status, and so that's pretty rough. But on the other hand, they were writing letters protesting their innocence and assuming that everyone else in the camp was guilty, but they were innocent, and they were still strident believers in the communist process. And so, you know, it was a conundrum. Here they are being terribly punished, but by the same token, they're also the perpetrators of their own demise. So how do you deal with them? And they used to play comrades. He said they used to play comrades with people like that and invite them into an ideological discussion about the camp situation and the situation in the country as a whole, and let them rattle out their ideological justifications for everything that had happened, in trying to make them parody themselves, roughly speaking. It was a rough game. And Solzhenitsyn also concluded that there was no helping someone like that when they were still ensconced inside that braying ideology. You could predict everything they were going to say. It's like someone had a crank. You could just crank it and out would come the proper ideological formulas. But then he realized that as soon as they, let's call it, repented of that and started to realize their own role in it or the error of the system, then he would start communicating with them, you know, as if they were people who you could communicate with. Yeah. So that was very interesting as far as I'm concerned. Anyways, this kid is still a little bit human. He starts to cry for his mom, and the coachman basically throws him back into the crate and says that he's not ready yet. And the reason for that is that he still had the power of independent speech. You remember, right at the beginning of the movie, when the mouth was painted on Pinocchio, we saw that mask that was really glaring at the process. And I said that character recurs continually throughout the movie, and this is a good example of that, because the coachman is the enemy of anything that has its own voice. So he's the anti-Geppetto, that's a good way of thinking about it. He's the tyrannical aspect of the culture. But as insofar as one of these mostly donkeys, mostly jackasses, can still talk, then they're not completely fit for slavery. And you remember this movie was also being made at about the same time that the Nazi transformation of Germany was taking place. And so all these terrible underground things, you know, this process whereby people were being reduced to ideological slaves, say, and in this terrible process, that was all playing out in Europe in a very big way. And it's not like people weren't aware of that, you know, it was in the air. So
there you go. Jordan Peterson, What Turns Someone Into a Jackass? Pointless hedonic pursuits, enticing Pinocchio along the same route. If you pursue impulsive pleasure to the detriment of the development of your character, you're going to end up a beast of burden. You're going to end up a slave to a tyrant. Here's a story. And so, you know, Carl Sagan, The Demon-Haunted World, Science is a Candle in the Dark. Didn't he warn us along the same lines? Dumbing down of America is most evident in the slow decay of substantive content, but especially in a kind of celebration of ignorance, he wrote. The plain lesson is that studying and learning, not just of science, but of anything, are avoidable, even undesirable. And, you know, basically he was vocalizing something that a lot of people were, you know, this depiction of Mr. Wilson or, you know, the crotchety old guy who sees young people engaged in these kinds of pursuits and is grumpy about it, seeing the decay. Carl Sagan was vocalizing this suicidal path that some saw. Not everyone could articulate quite as well, but this is what's been happening. And So how do we avert that course? Well, we return to a more wise and prudent course, perhaps, if there's even the possibility of averting catastrophe at this point. Who knows? To the phones, Tom in Florida, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Yeah, good day, Chris. Can you hear me?
Yep. Good morning, Tom.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of interesting when you brought up about Pinocchio. Yeah, Chris, you had mentioned something a few minutes ago. That's the reason I called you in. You were mentioning about DUI, the lines on the roads not being painted. Well, you know, Chris, we got these illegals coming in here. We had a big thing in the Miami Herald, the Sun Sentinel. They were talking about a lot of these people are having DUIs like crazy, okay? They're not even American citizens yet. They're coming here, they're getting drunk, having causing all kinds of mayhem. I'm not even talking about angel mothers and fathers, okay? I haven't gone there yet. But you got illegal aliens coming in here, and you're talking about the highway system and the roads, I mean, the painting of the roads. When I look out, only people I see actually building these expressways or doing work are mainly Hispanics. I don't hardly even see white Anglos. I see very a few blacks, Afro-Americans. There are a few, but not very many. And what I'm seeing is the total wipeout of the United States is culturally as a Northern European society. And, you know, you're talking about DUI. Yeah, if you get a DUI, you know, that costs you like $15,000. And, you know, you have to have an ID when you get that DUI. You better have a driver's license, but they don't want nobody to have a license to go vote. We're allowing our country's being invaded. We don't have no rules or regulations in a lot of these states where you have to vote with an ID to show that, hey, you are a registered voter. You're bringing in millions of padding these Democrat demon rats rolls with illegal immigrants to vote for their cause, which is free, 1-2 free. I want to stay under a coconut tree. What the hell is going on here? I mean, and you know, nobody wants to talk about the white women or the white men in these liberal blue states. They want to be totally become. They want to become the minority in their own states. Well, let them so be it. Let us bring in 10 million illegals into Delaware. Let's bring 10 million into Massachusetts. Let's bring 10 million into New Hampshire. Is that what these white trash want? They want to wipe their whole cultural identity out? I don't believe this. I don't believe this is actually happening here in South Florida, right. Chris. Like I've mentioned to you in the past,
it's called multiculturalism. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, Chris,
it's a way to conquer
people. Yes, when I graduated high school in 1978 here in South Florida, the white population in Dade and Broward County is over 80%. We are currently down to 12%, Chris. Broward County is a little higher, but Dade County is hovering around 11-12%. We've lost over almost 70% of our population. 68% of the white population in South Florida in 1978 is gone. Where did they all go? Where did they leave to? That's what we need to address. Where are all these white people gone? They gave up sunshine and South Florida weather and all that? What's going on here? Is this the model for the rest of the country? Fill up like a bottle and watch it explode? And we want to pick on Putin and white Russia? We want to have a war with another white Christian country? What the hell is that? Have more nuclear warheads than us. But hey, you know, I'm going to tell you one thing, Chris. I hope you do a little research on it. I was looking up the armies of the world. And you know, the best women-trained soldiers in the world are in Ukraine and Russia. They'll wipe our women out in a war if it was a conventional war. They have the best-trained women in the world, the soldiers. I looked it up. Look it up. You don't believe it. Ukraine, Russia, the Chinese are not far behind. I mean, it's unbelievable what's going on here.
Yeah, that's, I guess, interesting somehow, but really doesn't pertain to the subject matter at hand. So,
well, I just brought that up because I saw it on the news yesterday. I'm like, wow, this is pretty interesting. But here, going back to what you had mentioned about the roads here, potholes everywhere. Like you said, you can barely see the white lines, the dividing lines. And it's crazy. But in the meantime, we're spending billions and billions of dollars on an illegal incursion into our country. Nobody's being held accountable. They called Trump a kook. And you got this guy bumbling buffoon Biden getting away with a bloody murder. His son Hunter with a computer that the FBI never even mentioned.
Right. Again, not really germane to the topic at hand. Appreciate your call, Tom.
You got it.
Really, just always kind of the same rant. Yes, we've talked about those things. Multiculturalism, it dovetails with cultural Marxism. It's the same thing. I mentioned Israel Cohen's A Racial Program for the 20th Century. Last week, perhaps you heard, maybe not. Frederick Lindemann, obviously one of the most provocative in his remarks, not to say that what Israel Cohen wrote wasn't, but you know, Frederick Lindemann was the one of Churchill's handlers. He was the guy who said, you know, the abdication of the white man is going to be the greatest story, you know, of the 20th century. Anyway, yeah, these kinds of things are not surprising when you understand the multiculturalist bent and as a way to conquer people around the world. Not surprising, but not particularly germane to today's topic, I would say. Maybe not. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Choke man to make me
Welcome back. I'm chuckling because things are disappearing. Yep, it's all disappearing. It's all disappearing. How funny that is. Just a quick point on this. You know, you look at a racial program for the 20th century. Wikipedia says it's a hoax, like so many other things. Wikipedia conveniently has a list of hoaxes, which includes the protocols, racial program for the 20th century, etc. But what's astonishing is how closely things like that have been followed over the last several decades. How is that possible then? Frederick Lindemann's quote, Dana Ashley mentioned in her June 28 video last year, the privilege they erased from history. And so, you know, if you're not familiar, maybe watch that. We played the clip last year when she put that video out. What Lindemann said has, you know, it just keeps evaporating. Websites disappear, different things disappear. It's crazy. Anyway, you know, speaking of those kinds of things in the protocols, like Henry Mackow observed, even Solzhenitsyn said that the protocols exhibit a pathological, Solzhenitsyn said that they exhibit great strength of thought and the mind of genius. So like Mackow observed, pretty good for a hoax, wouldn't you say? Anyway, I apologize, Pat, that we didn't get to you. I just wanted to address that. Anyway, it's called multiculturalism. It is historically a method of conquering people and subjugating people, and it is very effective. It's very, very effective, and it's happening in our midst. There's no question. So that'll do it for today's broadcast. We'll come back. I think I'll come back to some specifics from Friday. I was not specific today, but I will be going forward in my remarks about what we talked about Friday. So that'll do it for today's broadcast. I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.